You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gassell. Today, the Corrections Connection will be looking at the issue of offender reentry into the community after release and how agencies can facilitate a successful transition for these individuals. Joining us today to discuss this topic is Jeremy Travis, Senior Fellow at the Urban Institute. Before joining the Urban Institute, Mr. Travis directed the National Institute of Justice, the research arm of the United States Department of Justice, from 1994 to 2000. Prior to his service at NIJ, he was the Deputy Commissioner for Legal Matters of the New York City Police Department. He also spent 6 years at the Vera Institute of Justice, where he managed demonstration programs on bail reform, judicial decision-making, and victim witness assistance. Mr. Travis has taught college and graduate level courses at Yale, New York University, and New York Law School. He has written and published extensively, has a law degree, and in 2001, the American Society of Criminology presented him with the August Vollmer Award for his outstanding contributions to criminal justice. So we're very happy to have him today. Welcome to today's live talk, Mr. Travis.
Nice to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you, as I said. This month on Corrections.com, we're looking at the issue of prisoner reentry. And before we start, I thought perhaps it would be helpful for our audience to outline what elements need to be part of a discussion about reentry and offender success after release.
I think the starting point here is to begin with the realization that just about everybody that we put into prison comes out, except those people who die of natural causes or are executed. Everybody who goes to prison at some point is released. So the realization of the virtual inevitability of reentry is the starting point for discussions that span the boundaries between prison and community. So the reentry perspective on the work of corrections professionals really brings into play both what happens inside the prison and what happens on the outside. It brings into play both what the corrections profession does vis-a-vis returning prisoners and a broad spectrum of community-based entities. Some of them are public entities, like the police, should be part of a reentry discussion, and certainly community corrections, whether it's parole or goes under some other name. But what's part of the new energy that's coming to this conversation are the others who are increasingly frequently at the table, whether it's the faith institutions or social service providers or foster care agencies or workforce development folks, that realize that they too have an interest in successful reentry.
So it's really a larger look at this issue rather than being just a corrections issue.
That's absolutely right.
Are more, would you say, jurisdictions or agencies starting to understand the depth of the reentry issue? And is there a reason for that? Could it be because of overcrowding or early release, things like that happening right now?
Well, I think we've seen over the last 5 or 6 years or so an increased focus on the issue of reentry. And there are a number of reasons for that. One is that there's been leadership at the federal level. The Justice Department, starting under the Clinton administration and continuing in the Bush administration, has really been challenging state corrections agencies to think more broadly about their responsibilities to the families and communities that people return to when they leave prison. And most recently, there's been federal funding that's been released by the Justice Department called the Serious Violent Offender Reentry Initiative that has prompted work in each of the 50 states on reentry at the adult level, and in some of those states, juvenile as well. So that federal leadership, I think, has been very important. There's also been a groundswell of interest from the community level as well that has given some new dimensions to this conversation, whether it's mayors who are concerned about the rising crime rates and the risks of rearrest posed by people coming out of prison, or it's community groups that are interested in ways to reconnect families when prisoners come out, or it's people who are interested in the civil rights implications of large numbers of men, mostly men from communities of color, who are having difficulty finding work or in some states disqualified from voting for a long time, sometimes even for life. There are a number of different perspectives on the issue that are giving it a lot of new energy. Now, more recently, the fiscal crisis has given some urgency to these questions, and a number of states are thinking about ways to manage parole supervision differently, particularly parole revocations differently, as a way of trying to keep the corrections budget down and get the prison populations down.
Well, you know, you're kind of leading right into a question about how agencies are addressing prison reentry and if they're doing it differently. You also mentioned the violent offender reentry grant, and I'm wondering if there's more guidance out there beyond that as well.
Well, the Serious Violent Offender Reentry Initiative from the federal government is not a prescriptive package. It doesn't tell the states exactly how to manage reentry. Instead, what it's doing is funding innovations within the states. And from that, there will be, hopefully, some lessons learned about ways to improve our reentry planning and reentry management. The National Institute of Corrections has also been a leader in thinking about transition planning and has a number of documents on its website that are good guidance to state and local practitioners on reentry planning. But I think it's fair to say that this is an area of criminal justice policy that really is up for grabs. We have been talking for a long time in the field about reinventing parole and probation and community supervision. There's been 20 years worth of critiques of the way parole boards have made decisions, the way we've made release decisions through good time credits and other forms of early release. Indeterminate sentencing has been roundly criticized. So it really is time for all of us in the criminal justice policy arena to think carefully about this central question. How do we want to manage the flow of now over 600,000 people a year out of our state and federal prisons back into the communities in ways that enhance public safety and promote successful reintegration? And what's clear now is that we have lots of people coming back. They're less prepared than they used to be. They've been in prison longer than before. We're revoking their parole at much higher rates than before and sending them back. So I think there's a case to be made that what we're doing now is not working terribly well.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, there isn't a real prescriptive package about how you're supposed to do it. Are people sort of biting off different parts of it and starting in smaller ways and then expanding, or are they trying sort of larger systemic kind of changes?
Well, I think we're seeing both. On the systemic change front, I'm very inspired by what's being done in the number of state corrections departments. Ohio comes to mind, where the director there, Director Wilkinson, has announced something called the Ohio Plan, which is a top-to-bottom re-engineering, basically, of his agency around a new mission, which is to increase the chances of successful reentry for people who are now held in their custody.
Hmm.
And that requires a fundamentally different way of thinking about everything the department does, from security to programming to intake to classification to release planning to family visitation and the like. If your goal is to increase the chances of successful reentry, then you have to do business quite differently. A number of other agencies are involved in an initiative sponsored by the National Governors Association that has invited seven states to develop new reentry policies. The state of New Jersey just released a document called Coming Home for Good, produced by the New Jersey Reentry Roundtable.
Okay.
It's looking at different ways of doing things. So there's actually a fair amount of system-wide innovation that will promote the programmatic innovation that we're also seeing to involve different agencies in the actual reentry plan.
That's great. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Jeremy Travis of the Urban Institute about offender reentry into the community. Now, you have been working with a project in Chicago that is designed to improve offender success after release. And I was wondering if you might be able to talk about sort of what's going on with that particular project and maybe how it came about.
Well, this is an example, I think, of state-level officials, in this case starting with the governor, the newly elected governor of Illinois, Governor Blagojevich, looking at the way Corrections does its work in saying we'd like to try some things that are fundamentally quite different and more systemic and adopt a reentry perspective. Basically what Illinois has done is to take a facility that had previously been closed, Sheridan facility, and reopen it with a very specific mandate, which is to work with inmates who are within months of their release, and all of whom, in this case, will have histories of addiction, provide treatment programming at the very end of their period of stay, several months of programming. And what's very important here is to then link that facility, the Sheridan facility, with a set of community coalitions that are based in the communities where most people return to in Chicago, so that there'll be a continuity of services, of support, of supervision that is truly community-based and is not reliant solely on parole. So it's a combination of a drug treatment facility, which states have done before this time, isolating one facility for drug treatment purposes, but with this new reentry perspective to say that we can do work in prison, but the important question for the community and for the returning prisoner is what is the support network and the accountability network on the outside, and building those networks simultaneously. So it's a very exciting initiative that a number of us will be looking at closely over the coming years to see how it helps us understand the reentry process more fully.
And sort of starting with a facility and that kind of location, regional model, maybe moving out in that direction, and would it be likely that it would expand sort of system-wide depending on, I guess, the success?
Depending on resources and success, that's exactly the idea.
Great, that's great. Do you think that offender reentry needs to be addressed at like a large-scale level, or, you know, are there noticeable differences, you know, in sort of the smaller programmatic changes that we've been kind of talking about?
Well, we talk about national data all the time. I just use myself the number 600,000 people coming out of prison, and talked about parole revocations, and we've mentioned recidivism rates. And the national numbers, sometimes you sort of lose focus. It's hard to know quite what to do with those numbers. And it really is at the state level and at the local level that these realities become much more powerful. So, for example, some states place everybody under supervision when they're released. California, New York are two examples. Other states, Massachusetts, Florida, place half or slightly more than half of the people released from their state prisons under supervision. So that makes an enormous difference in the way reentry management is operationalized within those jurisdictions. Some states have very high revocation rates. California leads the nation in parole revocations, and two-thirds of the people coming into the state prisons in California are there for parole revocation. Other states, Florida is another example, at the low end of the spectrum have about 10% or so of people coming into their prisons for parole revocations. So there are enormous differences in reentry management. Do we supervise people or not? And reentry success and failure, how do we decide when to revoke somebody and send them back?
Mm-hmm.
And there are also enormous differences between the states on recidivism rates. Not necessarily in the overall rate, but in the types of offenses that people are committing when they get out, and the contribution that returning prisoners make to the arrest rates in a jurisdiction. So one of my recommendations to people who are thinking about prisoner reentry and public safety is not to focus solely on a recidivism rate, are people rearrested when they get out of prison, but instead to look at the contributions that returning prisoners are making to the rearrest in a jurisdiction. And to say, if we have a crime problem in our jurisdiction, what percent of that problem can we attribute to people coming out of prison? And then focus very intently on ways to reduce the recidivism rate of people coming out of prison, particularly in the first weeks and months after release when the recidivism rates are highest.
Okay.
So there are ways that jurisdictions are starting to think about the challenges of reentry that are quite different from our traditional measures of recidivism, and particularly the public safety challenges of reentry, so that we get our minds and our hands and our policies around the particular risks posed by particular people at particular times, and that if we focus that way, we will have a very different systematic approach to reentry that'll front load all of our services, place a lot more attention on the first weeks and months when somebody gets out, and set for ourselves a goal of sharply reducing the recidivism rate, the rearrest rate, and the return to prison rate in those first weeks and months.
And that kind of information, it's just a matter of sort of changing what you're recording.
Exactly, and looking at it in a different context. So it's measuring rearrest rates, but it's measuring rearrest rates as a portion, a percentage of all rearrest rates in a jurisdiction, and measuring rearrest rates as they change over time, and really focusing in on those first couple of months after someone gets out of prison.
And I guess with that kind of information, then you can go back and say, okay, well, look, these are the results we've had, and maybe expand from there.
Right. This is what the community cares about. It's not, do you have a recidivism rate of zero? No one can achieve that. It's, have you made efforts, smart efforts, to invest resources, taxpayer resources in particular, wisely, in a way that will reduce the contribution of returning prisoners to the jurisdiction's overall crime rate? And the best way to do that, in my view, is to focus on the period of time that comes right after release when the rearrest rates are highest.
That's great. Thank you so much for your discussion with us today. This concludes today's live talk, and thank you to Jeremy Travis of the Urban Institute for joining us.
Well, you're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
Well, we're very, again, happy to have you with us today. And thanks also to our audience for tuning in. For more information on reentry and corrections, be sure to read this month's articles on corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.